I always count it an honor to be able to open the Word with people. And so just reading that, the one verse parable again from Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What is it that really drives us? What is it that really moves us to do what we do? What are the things that we would do at all costs? That we would do anything for this or for that or for that person or the next person? What is it that drives the deepest from the deepest level our actions when it comes right down to it? And on some level, asking that question, what are the things that I would set aside and I would sacrifice for something else, right? There's lots of scenarios that we could think about, but when it really comes right down to it, maybe what the best analogy that we could use is just the reality of our own kids, right? When we have children, and so our oldest is 21, and I think back 21 years ago, this first time we got to hold this child, man, I'm responsible for this kid. Like, I don't want to break him. And I'm really protective. And he's starting to grow up. And I remember one time, you know, we're on some public playground. And my perception was this other bigger kid was hassling him. And he's like a year and a half or 2 years old. You know, he's still in diapers. And he's just doing his thing. And my perception was, man, this other kid is hassling him. And there's just something that wells up in you, right? It's like, man, you don't control that really in the sense that it just happens. It's just something that drives you from your inner being. And when it comes down to it, the reality is that, man, I love that kid. I will do anything for him, right? So just to ask maybe a philosophical question this morning as we start, are we driven more by the thoughts in our head, by the things that we think, or are we driven more by love? Or maybe another word, by worship. What we love or what we worship. So if you just think about that question for a minute. We could play with the words of it all day long in some senses. But where are you really driven from? And this question, I'm not asking this question that you think of it as one to the exclusion of the other. Because God has made us as whole beings, right? We are thinking, cognitive beings, but we are also loving, worshiping beings. What's the first commandment? I know you know it. Love the Lord your God. It's not think good thoughts about God. It's love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With the entirety of your being, love Him. Worship Him. This is the main thing that you were created for. God did not give the people of Israel that command because He hated them. He gave it to them out of the depths of His love, actually. And He said, this is what you were actually created for. I'm giving you this command to draw you into who you were created to be. Love me, God says, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with the entirety of your being, and that the expression of your life would be an overflow of that reality. So as I look at my little 1.5-year-old that I'm responsible for, and this thing is welling up in me, that reality should be an overflow of the reality of God's love for me. And I come to an understanding of even God and His love for me through that. And so I want us to think about this reality of treasure and treasuring. And the message title this morning is Seek the Kingdom as Your Treasure. What is it that is primarily your treasure? What is at the core of who you are? What really drives you? Now, if we want to ask the question, maybe, I don't know. I think I know. You know, the Bible says I'm supposed to love Him first. And yes, it's So it's God first, my spouse second, my children third, and my job or my career or my ministry outside of that. So I got that order. Okay, that's what I understand the Bible says. But how do we know that? How do we know that that's the truth of us? So, again, a little interaction this morning. What are the three ways or the three indicators of what our treasure is? What are three things that indicate what we care most about? How we spend our time? Fruits of the Spirit. So those actions, okay? Absolutely. There's another easy indicator of how we spend our money. Okay, time, money, and maybe according to the fruits of the Spirit on some level. This one's a little more elusive, but really our emotions. What is it that kind of gets us revved up, either positively or negatively, right? What makes us the most excited, and what maybe even makes us the most upset, right? There is such a thing as righteous anger. I don't know what happens to you when you pass signs on the highway that say, like, one out of three babies are killed by abortion. I don't know what happens to you, but I get angry about that. Like, these are God's creatures created in His image, and people are killing them and justifying it. It makes me upset. Right? So those three things, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, and the things that either make us, like, kind of the happiest or even the most upset, kind of what drives our emotions, those are indicators of where our treasure is. Do we step back sometimes and just do some accounting? Do some evaluating of what is actually indicated? Because I know here, in my brain, in my thinking, what it should be, but am I willing to step back and ask, where am I spending most of my time? You ever done a time audit? I don't know if you've ever done that or heard of that, but just catalog what you do with your time, kind of hour by hour or half hour by half hour over maybe a 1 week or a 2 week time span. Challenge you to do that. Time audit. Write it on a calendar. See where your time is going. And ask God to indicate to you, is that where it should be? I mean, just ask Him. Is this where my time should be? What about our resources? Maybe we put our energy into that as well, you know? Do we save the best of who we are for our own stuff? Kind of give God the leftovers? And even our finances. And then sometimes when you get, like, super excited about something or even upset about something, just step back. Why am I so upset about that? Why does that make me so excited? What does that indicate? Am I driven for the things that I should treasure? I love this passage. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. Because this individual finds this treasure, and in his joy, he sells everything that he has to have that treasure. Everything. Coming to faith in Christ and then living in the kingdom is always a happy trade-off. No matter what else we had. No matter what else we had. Philippians chapter 3 isn't just an amazing passage where Paul explains this reality of how everything he had at one point was super valuable to him. Verse 7, Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." The young people at Rock Solid Refuge, yes, they have life-controlling issues. And they wrestle with things deeply. And at the core of it, a lot of times, it's this treasuring piece. What do I value more than anything else? And many of them have come to understand what I need to value more than anything else is simply me. Because nobody else values me. One young man was struggling a few years ago. We were working through that situation, and it was pretty intense, actually. And at a certain point through the whole reality, it was probably a good hour into a very difficult kind of a crisis, he just broke down. He started 16 years old, strong kid. He just broke down. We're sitting outside in the rain. He's just crying. He says, "I never had a dad like your kids have. My dad called me names. I can't say those names here that he told me that day." And he's weeping. So all he knew was self-protection. He had to value himself because nobody else did. But what is it like if we can come to that place and find that in valuing Christ over all things, we can even turn away from ourselves and lose our lives for Christ in order to find it. In order to find it. That's our prayer for the young people at Rock Solid. That's my prayer for all of us here today. The kingdom of God is so valuable that losing everything on earth in life, but getting the kingdom is a happy trade-off. It is a joyful sacrifice. It is not drudgery to get the kingdom. I thought it would be, actually. But it's not. It's a happy trade-off. Is there sacrifices? Absolutely. Paul's clear about that. I have suffered the loss of all things in order to gain such and such. But in light of that, greats of the faith like David Livingston would make statements like, "I never made a sacrifice." Yes, on many levels, he did make many sacrifices. He laid down his life for the gospel in many ways in Africa. But by gaining the kingdom, he could confidently say, "Truly, when it comes right down to it, I never made a sacrifice. I got what was most valuable." So we think about Christ and his just immeasurable worth through his sacrifice on the cross and his willingness to rescue and redeem us when we had nothing to offer, not of works of our own, but because he loved us. As God said to the people of Israel, "Why have I loved you? Is it because you're more numerous?" No, that's not it. "Is it because you're better than other people?" Definitely not it. "I've loved you because I've loved you." But wait a minute, God, I want a better answer than that. I want to feel like I've offered something, that your love has come to me because I've done something for it. God says, no. "I've loved you because I've loved you." What is that like when that overwhelms us? It should be the moment God, his kingdom, Christ himself, becomes our greatest treasure. A treasure intrinsically has great value. And the point of this passage is certainly not that the kingdom can be bought. The point is, if it costs you everything to have the kingdom, it is worth it. Luke 12:32 says, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. He does not like to be negotiated with. He loves to give the kingdom." The inspiration to our program, his name is Justin. When he was struggling in and out of jail, crystal meth addiction, all those things many years ago, sitting in jail one time, "God, if you get me out of here, I'll read through the whole New Testament." Well, whatever. It's like, and he did get out of there, and you know what? He did read through it. But at the end of the day, our negotiations with God don't impress him. It's not what he's about. The kingdom of God can't be negotiated for. We make silly agreements with God like that, and God even uses them. But that's not who he is. We cannot do anything for God that makes him in our debt. Part of our mission on this earth is to live a life that displays to the world around us that Christ and his kingdom is more valuable than anything else. This causes the world to ask serious questions about what they value. I want to close with this passage this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2. And it helps us understand the overflow of coming into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Jesus Christ himself being our treasure. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen race." Why did you choose me, God? I think I'm pretty special. No, it's actually because God's special. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Why have I been called? I've been called to proclaim the excellencies of him who called me out of darkness into his wonderful light. I was in darkness. Like any other student of our students, I have the same propensity towards all of the dysfunctional behavior, life-controlling issues. I have the same propensity to it all. I'm no better than them in my essence. But God has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light in order to proclaim his excellencies. This is our mandate. This is our calling. We talked about this in the Sunday school hour, that every one of us has been called to be ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors of Jesus Christ, God making his appeal through us. It's the privilege that we have at Rock Solid every day, both in word and in deed, that we come alongside them as they struggle and as they have victories and declare the excellencies of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As we do that, God will draw people to himself. And it is truly a privilege. It is a privilege to treasure Christ over all things.